Hi, this is Alexandria Barker with the Transformers Mastermind Interview Series. And today I have the privilege of interviewing Jeanette Ma. Jeanette is a Master Certified Coach. She is the founder of Good Vibe Coaching. Jeanette is on a mission to inspire deliberate creators, and she does this through her blog, her online university, one-on-one coaching, group gatherings, and speaking events such as this one. She is also a contributor to Jack Canfield's Life Lessons for Manifesting the Law of Attraction, and she was invited to appear on Oprah's Law of Attraction episode to share about the manifesting method called Pray Rain Journaling, and we're going to come back and ask her a little bit more about that. So she developed this through years of study and practice and shares a practical approach to the art of conscious creation. Jeanette enjoys playing with energy, challenging belief systems, and remembering that everything is possible when it comes to making real life miracles. She is on a mission to inspire deliberate creators. Oh, I'm so excited to talk with you. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello. I can't wait to play with you today.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm just thrilled. I've been following your work for many years now, and I just find you to be so inspiring. And your Good Vibe Coaching University is an amazing resource for anyone who's looking to, you know, just to learn how to be a deliberate creator, because you know, we all are creating our lives, and part of your mission, part of mine as well, is just to help people come to the understanding that, you know, you can do this, you can do creating, deliberate creating, and create the kind of life you really want and not just, you know, have to respond to what's happening to you. Because the truth is, you know, life is responding to you. It's not happening to you. It's responding to you through your thoughts and emotions. So I'm so excited to talk with you about that and have you share some of your insights.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, so how long would you say you have been been a deliberate creator?
I've been consciously doing it, or at least conscious that this is what we're doing, for maybe 14, 15 years, I guess. It was something that I ran across accidentally. I wasn't actually looking for this. I'd never heard of Law of Attraction before. I picked up a book by accident at the bookstore. I have accident in air quotes because I really don't believe in that. But it was the first time I ran across any material that our thoughts are powerful, that what we speak is what we're creating, and that what we're thinking is what's unfolding. That was a new concept to me, and I'll tell you, the first time I read it, I thought it was hogwash. I thought, oh my word, I can't believe I wasted my money on this book. But I had a rule for myself to practice at least one thing from every self-help book that I read, and I was a self-help book junkie back then. So the one thing I practiced was scripting, and I'll tell you what, that got my attention pretty quick.
Oh, yeah? So why? What results did you experience with it? And maybe for the benefit, I know what scripting is, but I don't know how many of our listeners do. So maybe you could just quickly, what exactly is scripting?
Well, I had learned this from the book, How to Get Everything You Ever Wanted by Adrienne Calabresi, and I don't think she ever used the words Law of Attraction in the book, but in hindsight, I realized that's what she was talking about. But one of the things that she suggested in the book, and this sounded like the least crazy thing in there of all the things that she had written about, so it's the one that I picked to play with, but she called it scripting. She said it's where you speak about what you want as if it's already happened. So the way I practiced it was that I said to my boyfriend, isn't it great? And I was scripting about how our foster dog got adopted, because we had at the time, we had had a dry streak for like 3 months. No one had in our rescue community had seen anyone with as long a dry streak as we were having. We were just getting more animals in instead of getting anyone adopted. We were really going backwards, and it was getting quite frustrating. So I scripted about how wonderful, isn't it nice how Jeff got adopted by the husband and the wife, and I'm just making it up on the fly as I'm going, by the husband and the wife, and they have the two kids and the dog for him to play with, and they live nearby so we can visit him whenever we want, and they have plenty of money so they can take care of whatever his medical needs might be. Isn't that great? And he looked at me like I was crazy because I didn't explain what I was doing, and Jeff's laying at my feet the whole time. So he thought I was crazy, but I didn't explain myself. I thought it was crazy, too. I went back to bed. That was a Thursday night. Saturday morning, he took all his same dogs to the same adoption fair they'd been going to for the past 3 months, And within an hour, the phone was ringing. And the only reason they call that early is to tell you that either there's no room for your animal or your animal's acting up, like, you know, barking too much, you got to come get him, or they're sick. They're basically saying, come get your dog. And I told them not to answer the phone because they needed to be there all weekend. I mean, we were desperate to get someone out of the house. And but he's a nice guy, so he answered the phone. And I was standing close enough that I could hear Trish on the other end of the line. She's the one who ran the adoption fair. And she said, you got to get down here right away. And I hit him in the shoulder. I said, I told you not to answer. And then she went on to say, there's two families down here fighting over Jeff, and I don't know who to give him to.
Wow.
This dog, no one had given this dog a second look. Yeah, in 3 months, no one had even cast a second glance his way. And now she's saying there's two families down there fighting over him. Okay, that never happens either, because the way the rescue groups work, people get screened. So you have to fill out an application, and even if you get a dozen applications, you'll maybe have one worth considering. There's no way in the first hour of the adoption event that you would have two that are so perfect. You can't pick between them. That would never happen. Like, it just didn't make sense. So I drove with him down to the adoption fair. Sure enough, I get a little emotional every time I remember this story. Two families, a husband and a wife, both with two kids, both with a dog. I looked at their applications. They were both perfect. I understood why she couldn't choose between them. Yeah, and they both were insistent on adopting Jeff. I got to say, not only did Jeff get adopted that day, but the next day, Oakley got adopted. And then 2 days after that, another rescue group took two black labs off my hands. So I was down four dogs in 4 days, and that was a miracle. Seriously, that was a miracle. And I got to say, I didn't make fun of scripting anymore after that.
Well, so Jeanette, that is an amazing story. And for things to turn around that quickly, I mean, it's inspiring. And it's also like kind of like, wow, is that normally what you come to expect after scripting, you know, when you do some of that work?
I'll tell you what. Yeah, that is what I normally come to expect when I script from such a dark place. I was in a really dark place. I didn't tell the part of the story where the reason I was reading the book was because I'd had a nervous breakdown in the backyard, and I'd gone to bed. Like, I was done. I went to bed for 4 days, but when I went to bed, I thought I was going to bed for good. Like, I didn't shower. I would still eat, but I wasn't going to work anymore. I mean, I was done with a capital D, a very dark place. And so here I am, bored to tears in bed, sick of life, not doing it anymore. And that's the book that I had that I'd accidentally picked up at the bookstore. So I'm reading that. What I've learned since then, I didn't know this at the time, but what I've learned is that the more contrast that we've experienced, the stronger our desire is on the other side. And when we just even open the door just a little bit, just give the universe a little crack to send something in good, when we've been in that bad away, and I was really bad off, then, yeah, things happen that big and that fast. What I have practiced since I learned how this works, that I don't have to get that miserable. So I don't allow myself to experience that much contrast before I start turning things around. And I think that's one reason why I don't have, like, my latest manifestations, they aren't nearly as dramatic. But I know that it's a function of contrast. The worse it is, the better it gets. An easy way to understand that is think about a rubber band. Like, the further you pull it back, the more resistance you have there, then when you let that resistance go, the further it flies.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
And if you just pull it back just barely a little bit and let go, it might flip off your finger or onto the table, but it's not going to go very far. That's how I manifest now. I don't have a whole lot of resistance anymore, because I know that I'm in charge of that. And I talk with people all the time who have those kinds of dramatic results when they practice a manifesting process, when they manage their vibration in some way from a lot of contrast, they get dramatic results. I've got a bunch of those stories too, because I have lived a lot of contrast and used law of attraction to help change things. So it's happened more than once for me. It's just not how I prefer to do it anymore.
Well, I think it would be really good news for somebody who is in that dark place to know, if they were open to you know, trying some of these techniques, that they could turn things around really fast. But I think it's also good to know that, you know, if you're kind of tired of it, if you don't really feel like you need the drama to feed your soul, you just want things to go a certain way, then maybe it's nice not to have that really strong, you know, the strong contrast that leads to the strong opposite rebound effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, That's certainly something I didn't understand at the time, that I was in charge of how far back I was going to pull back on the rubber band. I did not know that at the time. I do now. But I do get really excited whenever I talk with a client who feels really bad off. I'm like, oh, it's about to get really good.
Oh, isn't it? That's such a different perspective, but it's so true. I've seen that in my own life as well. So would you say that this event was your turning point in, really understanding that the law of attraction really works?
Or was it the beginning?
It was
my introduction to law of attraction. And again, I don't think she uses, she might, I don't know. I don't recall running across the phrase law of attraction in that book. But after that, and it wasn't even after I read the book, because I read the book and I thought she was crazy. And I felt like an idiot for having invested in this book. But it was after Jeff got adopted and then Oakley and then two more dogs that I was, oh, and I didn't tell you the rest of this. So my boyfriend, who's paying attention to this little routine, the same guy who thought he looked at me like I had two heads when I was talking about how wonderful it was that Jeff got adopted, he's paying attention to how this works. That next week, Alexandria, I'm not joking you, I was having so much sex. Normally, I was like a two, three times a week kind of girl. I was coming home at lunch for nooners with my boyfriend. I was like three times a day. All of a sudden, I was doing it all week long. By the end of the week, I'm like, I'm taking the bus home again from lunch one day. I'm like, what has gotten into me? I sure am having a lot of sex lately. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, he's scripting sex with me. So, I mean, this stuff is pretty easy to practice. It's not like you got to study it for a long time before you get results. But I got to say, between the dogs getting adopted and me realizing how effective my boyfriend was at manifesting more sex, I realized there's something here that I want to understand better. So I read everything I could get my hands on, which back then wasn't much. This was before The Secret. It was before Ask and It Is Given. But I did get my hands on Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting by Lynn Grabhorn.
Oh, yes. I had that in my library as well. I don't know, but I did. Read, ironically, before Abraham, and I know that they got their material from Abraham.
Right? So. I know. That was actually the first time I ran across Abraham, too. But when I read, she has a brief paragraph in there about where it came from, and that sounded really weird to me, like really crazy. I was so close-minded back then. So I didn't actually dive into Abraham until much later, but I got to say that first experience with it in scripting, there was never a doubt in my mind about this. I just wanted to understand it better and understand how to work it better. And the more that I learned about it, the more I could not stop talking about it. Like anyone who would come to me, whether it was a coworker, a friend, or a family member, and they'd have some issue, I'd say, I know something that can fix that. And then I'd rave about it, and they'd look at me like I was crazy, and pretty soon people stopped talking to me at work.
Did you start to shut down on who you shared this with?
Absolutely. What it did was it fueled a desire. The desire that got started from that contrast was, I just wish I could talk with other people who wanted to talk about this too. So I flowed that desire for a while, and then pretty soon that one evolved too. And wouldn't it be great if I got paid for it so I could quit this stupid job?
Yeah.
Which is what I do now. I talk with people about law of attraction all day long, and I get paid for it. I absolutely love it.
How cool is that?
Very.
Now, this brings me to another question I want to get into, but I just thought while we're talking about scripting, that's very similar to your Pray Rain journaling.
Yeah, I can actually say it's my Pray Rain journaling. I didn't make this up. I learned it from others. In fact, that's what Oprah wanted me to, her producers asked, they'd never heard of it, so they asked me to bring my Pray Rain journals with me. I'm like, what? Because I had dozens. And they were like, yeah, bring them with you. I'm like, all of them? They said, yeah. Oh, my good Lord. That was a heavy suitcase. So so they didn't know what it was. And Oprah was filming a special on the law of attraction. So there were a lot of people there to talk about law of attraction, none of whom had ever heard of Pray Rain journaling. And it turned out that I got edited out of the show. They filmed me, but they ran out of time because Martha Beck was talking about vision boards for so long that we missed the part where I was supposed to be talking about Pray Rain journaling. So afterwards, everyone was asking me, okay, so what is this Pray Rain journaling? Tell us about it. And I would explain it, and they would be really excited, and they'd be like, well, where can we learn more about it? What book can we read about it? And I didn't know of any books. I know Greg Braden had a Pray Rain story in one of his books, but it was only a page long. It wasn't like a whole book. So anyway, I was on the plane on the way back, and I was feeling really silly that I didn't have a good resource to share because they were so interested. And I thought, someone should write that book. And then it hit me, you should write that book. So I wrote the book, but it wasn't my process. I can't take credit for it. But basically what it is where scripting is speaking what you want as if it's already done. Pre-rain journaling is writing it out. So instead of keeping a journal the way most people do, which is writing about their thoughts and feelings and what's happened in the day, like a diary, instead, pre-rain journaling is where you write about what you want as if it's already happened. The power in this process, the same as it is in scripting, is that when you do that, you are offering a new vibrational instruction to the powers that be, whether you call it universe or the field or matrix or God or whatever. But as you're writing about what you want as if it's already done, you're sending a very aligned vibration, and that's what allows it to manifest much more easily than if you were just taking traditional actions to try to make it happen.
Wow. And I have your book, Pre-Rain Journaling, and I really love that process as well. And I have found great success with it also. It's just really, it's fun for one thing. So it lightens you up about whatever it is that you're wanting to have happen. And it's just such a, it's just so freeing to be able to kind of go like, it's like similar to the Abraham Hicks process. Wouldn't it be nice if, and then just kind of writing it the way that you'd want it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's just so, I find I can do that without having the attachment to it. And it's pretty uncanny when I go back and look at some of these things, how much actually happens, it just comes true in very, mysterious ways. And it's just very, very cool. And I think it's really wonderful that you, once you hit on how, with scripting, and then you just, you had your firm belief. My next question was actually, how did you keep your faith up until the point where you believed it? Because I think that's an obstacle for a lot of people. I think, they hear about the law of attraction and they understand it intellectually, but they don't really believe it because, it runs contrary to everything that they've ever, learned in their lifetime. So suspending that disbelief is one of the major hurdles for a lot of people. I know it was for me.
I agree with you that there are a lot of people who get hung up there. And yet, from my own personal experience, I know that belief wasn't even required because I didn't actually even believe this. I thought it was crazy. If I didn't have that rule for myself that I had to do at least one thing from every self-help book, then I never would have done anything with it because I mean, I wasn't just skeptical. I didn't believe it at all. I knew it was crazy.
And it still worked.
And
like
it
magic.
Still worked. So the belief wasn't required. My business partner says this a lot whenever someone gets hung up on, but I don't know how to get myself to believe in what I want. She's like, you don't need to believe. I can actually agree with that because I had the experience myself. But I think that I believe belief can be very powerful, and that's a good thing to have on your side. And I also know that it isn't required. But because of the way that I experienced it, I've never doubted it. Like, I've never had the experience of reading it going, wow, okay, well, this makes sense. Let's see if it really does, and then not getting results. I never approached it that way. Mine was like, what a bunch of hooey. And then I did it, and then it worked.
Wow.
So the more that I run across about this, because there are a variety of really talented LOA teachers sharing their perspective on this subject, I've just never ever doubted it. I've never had to try to keep the faith because it's like some bell of truth got rung in me when I ran across this, and that's never been unrung. I don't know how else to describe it, but I haven't had the struggles that a lot of even LOA coaches have, where sometimes they even doubt themselves about the process. I have never had that experience.
Wow. So even when you're around people who do, think it's who he is, you say, like that doesn't even
affect
you.
No, I live with one. I am friends with many of them. It doesn't shake my faith at all. I don't even feel like I have faith. I have knowing. Like where I am with conscious creation, it's so much deeper than trust or faith. It's an absolute solid knowing. And I'm perfectly comfortable with people who don't have that same knowing. It doesn't bother me at all that we are not in agreement.
Oh, well, that's great since you do live with one, and I do as well.
He
my
would
husband
say,
isn't convinced about this stuff at all.
Yeah, if he were listening to this, he would say, hey, I never said that. I sometimes exaggerate his position. He thinks I do anyway. But he's very logical, very left brain. He's an engineer, you know. So, and yet, even he can see the sense in a lot of this stuff. Although when people say, I have such a hard time, my spouse doesn't agree with this, and makes it so hard for me to practice. I'm like, why?
Because you're practicing in the privacy of your mind, right?
Right.
They
get to have it their way. People don't have to agree with us in order for us to be powerful. And if they don't want to embrace this their way, then there's no need to make them. I'm completely at peace with people who don't see it how I see it. That's totally fine.
So you've never tried to script him into being,
nope.
You know, nope.
No.
Well, that
I have tried
conscious.
To coach him. Like when he's frustrated with his golf game or something, I'll say, sweetheart, here's what you do. Instead of walking around being frustrated with your game, just pretend you're a fabulous golfer. Just imagine that, you know, so I try and kind of trick him into it a little bit. And he'll have results here and there, but he just so naturally goes back to his normal routine that, you know what, I'll let him have it if he were interested in it. Because what I learned when I had the job and I was talking about this with everyone, it's really discouraging to be excited about this, to try to share that passion with someone else who isn't interested. So yeah. I have zero interest in doing that. In fact, when I started my coaching practice, my perfect client profile was someone who already knew this, already understood it, already believed it, and was just having trouble with it in some form or fashion because I didn't want to do any convincing. That was not my idea of a good time.
Right, and I agree with you there. And it really is important, though, to have some place where you can talk to people, especially if you're maybe living in an isolated area and your partner doesn't feel or think the way that you do. So I love that you...
Everyone else thinks you're crazy? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, with your founding of the Good Vibe University, mm-hmm. you know, there is a wonderful resource for people. I've been a member for several years now. It is a membership site, but, I mean, it's great because with all the support that you get.
We do have some free resources there, but it is designed for privacy because there are some people who they want to be able to practice this without outing themselves as a conscious creator. Some people feel like, you know, this isn't what I need everyone in my life to know about me. But it was really born from the sense of loneliness I had in those early days when no one would talk to me about this. I was so fascinated with it, and everyone thought I was crazy. All I wanted to do was connect with other like-minded people. So there was a lot of satisfaction for me to be able to surround myself with people who could talk this same way with me, you know, who were practicing the same things and could get excited about our results together.
Yeah, because I know some of the when you're just beginning to manifest something, Abraham, as in Abraham Hicks, for anyone who's not familiar with, we keep talking about this Abraham, just Google Abraham Hicks. It's another wonderful resource. But, you know, they talk about the driftwood. Like when you started, you're holding something in your mind and you're wanting to create something, and something will come along that won't seem like say you're trying to or wanting to manifest more financial abundance, and you get something small, like you get a rebate, say $5 rebate or on something,
or you find
a small amount of money on the street, or, you know, things that people will go, this isn't what I, you know. But that's actually just sort of showing that more is coming, that you are on the right track and more things are coming of that nature to you.
Agreed. And that is one of the things that can discourage people when something shows up that isn't exactly what they wanted, or it shows up for someone else near them, you know, like the neighbor gets married or the sister-in-law wins the lottery or whatever. It's like, oh, it could be really frustrating, like, oh, that's what I wanted. But truly, that is a sign of your alignment, and that's so helpful when we don't dismiss it in order to help maintain our alignment.
And even to celebrate their wins, most teachers of Law of Attraction will say, yes, celebrate your wins, even the small amounts, but also celebrate other people's. Like if it is
Absolutely.
Coming near you and it's somebody that if it's in your vicinity, you know, you are on that wavelength, so
that's
celebrate it as if it's your own, and man, amazing things can happen. really, really amazing things. So it's certainly worth trying. I always just tell people, like, it's worth a try. Like, what mm-hmm. if, you know, what if this is true? You know, don't you want to find out? Now, I'm interested in, as being a new law of attraction coach myself, and I know probably a lot of our listeners are in that same. I think a lot of people are being drawn to coaching, and, you know, but it doesn't happen instantly for everybody. Now, I know that when you started, you had several techniques that helped you make it the reality that it is now. So I wondered if you could just share some of that. And also, I'm just wondering how long before things really turned around in the real, as in air quotes, the real world.
Yeah, so before I started my coaching business, I had a lot of experience with conscious creation in other ways. I really got a lot of confidence in my skills here when I was in corporate world in sales. In fact, my first Pray Rain journal experience was, I had learned about it years before I used it. I don't know exactly how long. It could have been 1 year. It could have been 4 years. I don't know. But I had never done one until this day. I was working as a 401k salesperson for a bank, and I'd been on the job for 4 months, and the department, it was a new department. They'd only been in place for a year. So it was fairly new, and we had a staff meeting one day, and they basically told us, because things had not been going well, Alexandria, things had not been going well for any of us. Anyway, they said to us in this staff meeting, if you guys don't turn your numbers around fast, like in 2 weeks, they're pulling the plug on the whole department. We'll all be out of jobs. So I kind of felt like in that meeting, like I'd just been fired, because they've been doing it for a year. I've been doing it for 4 months. I'm not going to be able to turn this around in 2 weeks. We've already been working our butts off. I mean, what they had us doing was they had us cold calling prospects. They had us reading scripts. They were tracking our statistics. How many phone calls did you make? How many people did you talk to? How many meetings did you set? And, yeah. I mean, I couldn't get past a secretary to save my life. I mean, it was seriously pathetic. It was not working. So I thought, there isn't any way for me to work any harder than I have been, and what they've been having us do hasn't been working, so what do I want to do? So when I got back to my desk, I thought, I'm going to do a Pray Rain journal. Never done one before. And I thought, I don't have much time. We've only got like 2 weeks before we're all out of jobs, so I need a small book. Because the way I'd learned it was, if you write a page a day about what you want as if it's already happened, by the time you get to the end of your book, you will have it. Or it'll be so close you can reach out and touch it. So I had a little 2x3-inch notebook, like from Office Max, for 99 cents. This was my first Pray Rain journal. I opened up the first page, and I wrote, isn't it great how prospects find me, how excited they are to hear about my product, what a perfect match we are for each other, what great rapport we have, how they can't wait. So it was only like 5 or 6 sentences because it was a small page. It only took like 5 minutes to do. But in that process, what was happening was I was getting my attention off of, this isn't working, to, isn't this fabulous? Totally different vibration. Even though it's made up, it totally shifts the vibration. So after I made that entry, then I asked myself, okay, what sounds good next? And what inspiration said was to go to lunch. We'd been under so much pressure. I'd been eating out of the vending machine for 4 months on the job and literally running down the hall to go buy my grandma's cookie or Snickers bar. So to go to lunch, to leave the building, was quite a treat. It might not sound like anything special to anyone listening to the story, but it was really cool to actually have a real lunch with real food. In fact, I went to my favorite restaurant across the street, and I sat outside. It was a gorgeous spring day. So I enjoyed the weather. I enjoyed the food. I fed my leftover pita bread to the sparrows. I just really goofed off for like an hour and a half. And after that, I was like, okay, what sounds good next? And what inspiration said was, go back to work, which surprised me, but I'm just going to do whatever sounds good. So I go back to work. I'm in the elevator, and there's a guy in the elevator who says, who are you? And I said, I told him who I was, and he said, I know all the people who work for the bank. What do you do? And I told him I sell small business 401k plans. And he said, I didn't know you guys sold small business 401k plans. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? This is part of our problem. Because here we have our bank partners don't even know about this product that we have, and that's part of the reason why we can't get in front of any clients with it. But he says to me, you've got to come with me. And I'm thinking, great, so I'm going to have to go explain to some upper management people about this new product they didn't even know the bank had. So I follow him to his office, and it turns out he doesn't work for the bank. His office, he's a property manager of the building. Like the entire building was bank people. I thought, no, he does not work for the bank. He shows me his desk. His desk is covered with sales literature from 401k vendors. He turns to me and he says, I haven't been able to make heads or tails of this in weeks. Can you help me? If someone gives me a chance to talk about 401k plans, I could talk all day long. And I had my satchel with me, so I had my information. And here's all my competitors right here. We had a fabulous conversation. I told him everything he needed to know about everyone. It was really, really fun for like 15 minutes. And then he stood up, and I thought, okay, my fun's over. Now I got to go back to work. But instead of walking me to the elevator, he walks me down the hall to his HR director, and he says, Shelly, meet Jeanette. Jeanette, meet Shelly. And he turns to Shelly, and he says, Jeanette's going to be implementing our 401k plan. Sign whatever she needs you to sign. And then he turns to me and he says, how soon can you have that to us? Seriously, Alexandria, in training they taught us this is a 6-week process at best to identify a prospect, to prepare a presentation, to overcome their objections and draw up the contract and all that stuff. It's supposed to be 6 weeks. And it happened in the space of like 20 minutes. Although you got to count the journal and the lunch. That's part of how that stuff could happen, because that was seriously vibration shifting. I mean, it was going from stress to enjoyment. And if we aren't having a good time, good things can't happen. But something as simple as a nice lunch and honoring inspiration is how universe can let your dreams come true. I mean, by sticking me in the elevator with a guy that needs a 401k plan. So crazy cool. So it didn't take long for me in that setting to realize I can use this for my own benefit. I could use this to draw clients into my own coaching practice. So when I started my business, I had a lot of confidence in my skills. I think that served me really well, because whenever those thoughts of doubt or fear, or what I heard a lot was, uh-oh, this isn't going to work. You're going to have to get a job. That was my gremlin voice that would kick in.
Oh.
I had a really easy answer for it, because I knew that I would get whatever I focused on, whatever I thought, whatever I said, whatever I wrote, that's what was going to manifest. So I would answer that voice by saying, no, that's not what I'm creating. What I'm creating is, I'm a brilliant coach in high demand. So I by insisting on that, by staying tuned into that point of focus, I knew universe would have to find a way to get me clients. I didn't even have to do the work. All I have to do is stick to my story. So I did it with that mantra, I'm a brilliant coach in high demand. I did it with, I pray rain journaled about getting clients. I also did a practice from Attracting Perfect Customers. Oh my gosh, I love that book. In fact, in many coaching circles, it's considered the Bible for building a coaching business. And I only
ever heard of that book.
Oh my word, it's amazing, by Stacy Hall and Jan. I don't know how to pronounce Jan's last name, but Attracting Perfect Customers. There have been other authors who've written books like it, but I still think theirs is the best. And one of the things that they had in there, in fact, this is funny that I'm raving about them, because when I first read their book, I didn't get very far into it. And I did hire a mentor coach. That was another thing that I think helped me tremendously. My life changed more in 3 months of working with an LOA coach, because I'd hired other coaches, but they weren't law of attraction coaches. But once I got an LOA coach, my life changed more in 3 months working with her than it did in 3 years of me working law of attraction on my own. And one of the things she said to me in one of our very first sessions, I said, well, I'm still not getting any clients. And she said, well, are you reading your strategic action plan? And I said, my what? She said, your strategic action plan, are you reading it? I didn't even know what she was talking about. I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. She said, you don't know what I'm talking about? I said, no, I have no idea. She said, oh, my God, you're going to hang up right now. You're going to go get the book, Attracting Perfect Customers. You're going to read it. And I stopped her. I said, oh, no, I have the book. And she says, and? I said, I got stuck in chapter 2, and they asked me to identify my perfect client. And she said, oh, my God, you're going to hang up right now. You're going to finish reading that book. You're going to identify your perfect client. So I did. What she was emphasizing to me was that this is a really powerful resource. Work it. So I went back to chapter 2. And basically what they were asking you to do is make a list of your perfect client. But it isn't just a list of describing your perfect client. The first list is traits, qualities, and characteristics. The second list is what makes your perfect client tick? What makes them get out of bed every day? You know, what drives them? Write that down. And then the third list is what does your perfect client expect from you? And we're thinking of perfect clients, not average clients. My clients wouldn't expect me to answer the phone after hours. They wouldn't expect me to not get paid. Like, so you write down what your perfect clients expect from you. And then the fourth list is, okay, based on what your perfect clients expect, are there any gaps for you to fill? Like if they, on my list was they expect me to be the expert. They expect me to walk the talk. So that was one of the things that I had to give myself more credit for and to be better at. So the fourth list is just close whatever gap you see in yourself on from the third list. All right, so that was one of my, I described that because I think that was one of the key processes. I mean, I was using the mantra, I'm a brilliant coach in high demand, to stick to my story. I was doing my Prairie Rain journal entries, you know, I at least did one a day. I think I was doing one in the morning and one at night. And then I was also reading my perfect client list. So I eventually, I didn't even have to, I had it taped to my bedroom wall, and I read it every morning and every night because I knew the power of this. While I'm reading this list, I've got my attention on perfect clients, and whatever I'm focusing on is what I'm drawing into my world. So I didn't even have to figure out how to get the right website or what marketing or whatever other questions other entrepreneurs might ask themselves about how to get business. I knew all I had to do was get them in my vibration. If I could imagine them, I could bring them to real life. And I did that by reading the list. I read it so much that eventually I didn't have to open my eyes to read it because I had it memorized. But in those moments, in those minutes while I was reminding myself what my perfect people are like, the universe was getting the message from me that said, Jeanette's got perfect clients. So it had to find a way to send them to me. In fact, this is so hilarious, Alexandria. The way I've learned this is get your attention on what you want and then do what feels good. One of the inspirations that I got, the part of what felt good, was to have a website built because I believed if I had a website, people would find me and they would hire me. I was naive enough to believe that back then. I know now they teach you can't just expect you put up a website and you get hired. I didn't know any better back then, so I did believe that. I believe that belief served me well. But I hired someone to build me a website who I don't think either one of us really knew what we were doing. She built me a gorgeous site. I absolutely loved it. But then, like a couple months later, I wanted a couple changes or upgrades or whatever, and she just stopped writing me back. So I had to hire someone else. So the new guy that was working on it, he made the changes that I needed. And one day he said to me, "Do you know that your website's invisible? And in the meantime, I've been getting hired. Like I filled my practice in 3 months from the time that I quit my job and got serious about getting clients. It took me 3 months to get a full practice." And so here he is, like months later, he's saying, "Did you know your website's invisible?" Because that's how clients were coming to me. I wasn't passing out business cards. I wasn't doing any networking. I did not have any. I wasn't telling anyone that I was a coach. I wasn't doing any of the things that you're supposed to be doing. I didn't know you're supposed to drive traffic to your site. I didn't know that. I really just believed if I built it, they would come. So Anyway, this guy tells me my site's invisible, and I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "It's a flash site." I knew it was a flash site because that's what the girl had told me that she was building, but I didn't know what that meant. And he said, "It means it's invisible. It means that search engines can't find it. There's no code here to tell them what this is or what you do." And I'm like, "What?" And he says, "Yeah." He said, "I could fix that." I'm like, "Well, please do." But I'd been getting clients all along in the meantime. So when
that's true because when I originally found you, you had that situation going, and I know I found you one time, and I went back, and where'd that go? Not there now. But I'd already found you the one time, so I was able to find you a second time, and then I heard you telling that story, and I was like, that's so cool that that really told me that
universe is magic. It has to figure out how to make it happen. You don't have, even if you screw it up, even if you make it impossible for it to happen, if you're vibrating it, if you believe it, if you expect it, universe has to find a way to make it so. Which, you know, when we hear some pretty miraculous things happening with people who practice conscious creation, even people who are doing it not consciously, you know, just they might not know they're playing with law of attraction, but we hear magical things all the time, and that's because the universe is incredibly resourceful. It can even get you clients when your website's invisible.
It's magically delicious.
So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, and that's really encouraging. I think any new coaches, like for, I know for myself, I'm going to get hold of this book and I'm going to do what you just talked about. And
I want to add something too. So I always, whenever anyone asks me how I did it, I say, you know, the mantra, the journaling, and the reading the list. But what else was critical here was doing what felt good, because that's part of how we stay in vibrational alignment to what we want. I wasn't making myself miserable by doing things I thought I was supposed to be doing. I was only doing what I enjoyed. That included a lot of dog walks. It included a lot of rollerblading. I mean, I'd had a corporate job forever. I'd never been able to go do anything fun like that in the middle of the day. I was meeting girlfriends for lunch. I was going to lunch with my dad. I would take the dogs up the canyon. I was doing what I loved, and included in that were things like, you know, hiring someone to do my website and reading more books about law of attraction. And I want to emphasize that part of my formula that I sometimes forget to mention was enjoying myself, enjoying my life, rather than sweating it out, sitting in front of the computer wondering why there were no emails and no voicemails. I was having a good time. I'm not saying I didn't have moments of doubt and fear. I did, but I managed those with the mantra and by tuning back into, because this is what my mentor coach said to me. Every time I'd get back on the phone and say, it's been 3 weeks, still no clients. And she'd say, tell me again what it is you want. And I would just be frustrated with her. I'm like, oh, my word, do you not remember? Are you not taking notes? And I would say, what I want is a practice of 10 perfect full-paying clients, da-da-da-da-da. And what I realized in hindsight was what she was doing in those moments was turning my attention back to what I wanted. Alexandria, do you know this Tony Robbins story of being on the racetrack?
No.
Oh, my word. I love, love, love this example because it's what Gina was doing with me. Gina Gabellini was my mentor coach.
Well, but, can I just interject before you, when you say mentor coach, like, is that a specific kind of a coach? Is that, or are you just making that distinction?
It's a coach who's designed to help you build your business. So a mentor coach and mentor coaches can show up in different ways. Some of them work unpaid. Most of them are paid. So I was paying Gina as if, you know, I was just a regular client, but she was basically teaching me to do what she had done, although we did it in very, very different ways. Because Gina would do things like she would meet a cool person and she'd say, I think you should hire me. I want you to be my client. Like, that's how she built her business, and she was extremely successful with it. But that thought mortified me. I never wanted to ask anyone for business in my entire life, and to this day I never have. Like, I let them come to me. I wanted them to find their way to me. I didn't want to convince anyone anything. Anyway,
okay.
So,
well, I was just curious about that. Yeah, so the Tony Robbins story.
This is such a cool way to keep ourselves on track. He was at race car driving school where they teach you how to drive race cars, and it was the day that they were going to teach their students how to control a skid, because, you know, if you're driving on a track, eventually, sooner or later, your car will go into a skid, and you've got to know how to manage that or you could die. So they're teaching how to control a skid, and they're in the classroom and they're teaching this, where they tell Tony that it's really natural that when the car starts to skid that your attention goes, you look straight at the wall. And it's important that you not do that, because the car will go wherever you are looking. So you cannot look at the wall, or the car's going to go straight into the wall. You have to look at the track. And Tony laughs when they say this to him, and he said, that's really funny, you guys. I actually teach this to people for a living, how to keep your eye on what you want, et cetera, et cetera. He's like, yeah, I got it. You don't need to tell me twice. I know how to do this. So they get out onto the racetrack in order to practice this, and he's in the car, in the driver's seat, with his instructor sitting next to him in the passenger seat. They're going around the track a couple times, and then the instructor initiates the skid when he's not expecting it. So the car starts to skid, and Tony said he's like a deer in the headlights looking straight at the wall. He said he couldn't tear his eyes away from it. He said, it's like I wanted to see the death happen. He could not turn his gaze. His instructor has to reach over, grab his face with his hand, and turn his head to look at the track. And as soon as he did, then sure enough, the car, you know, goes back on the track instead of crashing into the wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I love this. I love Tony tells this story for the same reason that I love it so much, is that it's important that we put our attention where we want to go. So if I were sitting at home sweating it out about how there's no clients and this isn't going to work and what am I going to do, I'm running out of money, et cetera, that's me looking at the wall. And what Gina did for me every week that I dialed in and said, it's not working, she would say, tell me again what it is you want. And that's just like Tony's instructor turning his head back to the track. So somehow, some way, we've got to find a way to keep our attention on what we want, whether we're doing it with the mantra or the Pray Rain journal or the vision boards, another common way to do that, a mentor coach. I cannot speak highly enough of how powerful that can be. There are a variety of ways for us to manage our focus, but that's what makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, that I love that you told that story. That just resonated right through me. I think it's going to be really helpful just to really remember, you know, and think about that. That's such it's so clear. You know, it's almost a visceral thing. You can almost feel like you're in this race car. And it's like, okay, you know. So that's really easy to, like, when you're thinking, oh, my God, this is never going to work. It's never going to work. It's like you're looking at that brick wall and you just got to turn your attention and whatever, however. Or as Abraham would say, go pet your cat or go have a nap.
Right. Exactly.
Just stop thinking about whatever that is, because that's not what you want to have happen. Wow, so you turned it around within 3 months. That is extremely inspiring,
well,
too.
I got to say this, too, Alexandria, my disclaimer. I was talking with someone the other day, a coach who was she'd been at it for a couple of months, and she hadn't been hired, and she was ready to give up. And I know that sometimes people hear my story and they're like, well, if I haven't done it in 3 months, clearly I'm doing something wrong. Okay, the truth is I thought about coaching for years before I actually pulled the trigger. So if someone says, how long did it take you to build your coaching practice? I could say, well, 3 months from the time that I decided to actually get serious about it. But I fantasized about it. I mean, I took two different coach training programs. I mean, I was flirting with it for a number of years before I actually quit my job and said, okay, Gina, I'm ready to make this real. So it depends on how you answer the question, how long it took. It took me a long time to get the nerve to walk away from a six-figure job, especially when in my coach training, how hilarious is this? In coach training, one of the things they had taught us was that most of you will fail. The lucky few of you who are going to be fortunate enough to build a full-time practice, and that won't be many of you, but for the lucky few who do, it's going to take 12 to 18 months to do it, and you're not likely to make more than 30 grand a year when you do. So if you need to make more than that, don't quit your day job. And I believed that. I believed that. So I even showed up on Gina's doorstep, and I said, okay, so I know this is going to take a long time, and it probably won't work, and I won't make much money. And she stopped me. I love Gina dearly. She stopped me. She said, who told you that? Like I was crazy. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, great. What kind of mentor coach did I hire that she doesn't even know how hard this is? I mean, that was the biggest coach training organization in the world. If anyone would know, they would know how hard this is. My coach doesn't even know how hard this is. And then she said, is that what you want? And I was like, well, duh, of course that's not what I want. And she said, what do you want? And I said, well, if I could have anything, I would pick to have a full-time practice in 1 month. And she said, then that's what we'll do. I get goosebumps remembering her telling me this. That was her turning my head back to the track, because then I remembered, oh, that's right, I get to make it how I want it. I mean, I'm making this all up. Why would I pick the struggle? Why would I pick that? So it didn't take me 1 month. It took me 3 months, but I'm still celebrating it. And by my second year, I was on track to replace my six-figure income. And eventually, I made more than I ever did in corporate world. So I just want to say, the story sounds really cool. I did it in 3 months. But I spent a long time thinking about it before then.
Oh, but it still is a very inspiring story. And
I agree.
Yeah, I love it. It just really, because like you say, a lot of people don't make it, and you see a lot of that, and you kind of wonder, like, am I wasting my time? So that's really great to come back to realizing that, you know, it was really deciding what you want and really sticking with it. Now, one other thing that I think, you know, through your work, I know that you one of your books is the self. Let me make sure I get the title of it correctly. Now, the Art of Self-Love.
Skipper, skipper.
And I wondered if you'd like to speak a little bit to the importance of self-love.
Yeah.
Like, why was it so important that you, chose to write a book about it? And when it comes to the law of attraction, how important is it to cultivate this self-love?
Yeah, I don't think it can be overstated how important it is. And the reason I wrote the book on it was because in virtually every client session that I was conducting, I found myself talking about why self-love was important and how they should practice it. It was a foreign concept for many people. Many people didn't even understand the question when I said, "How's your self-love?" They were like, "What exactly do you mean by that? And why are we talking about it?" I believe universe can only be as good to us as we are to ourselves. So if I am very good at putting myself on the back burner, at putting other people first, at always answering someone else's needs and desires before my own, universe is going to match me in that because I can only get what I'm putting out. So if what I'm putting out there is I'm not worthy, other people are more important, they deserve it first or whatever, then universe is going to, it has to match. It can't be good to me if I don't know how to be good to me. So it's critical that we learn how to be good to ourselves, how to love ourselves, how to feel worthy and deserving and to let good things happen in our life. And if we don't know how to do that for ourselves, universe isn't going to be able to buck our current. Like it matches whatever we do. So what I noticed was that when people started practicing self-love, magic and miracles would happen really swiftly. Like very often, this was the thing that was blocking what they wanted from manifesting. And it felt so important that anytime someone came to me who had a hang-up, this was one of the first things I would ask, okay, well, let's hear about your self-love practice. Most people didn't have one. Most people didn't even know what I was talking about. So that's where the book came from, and I do believe it is the single most important factor to getting what we want. If someone didn't do anything other than start learning how to be better to themselves, I think that in itself can transform their life. I actually believe, Alexandria, that's really what we're looking for. Like whatever it is we want to create in life, whether it's a successful business or a beautiful relationship or an amazing home or whatever it is that we want, that the heart of that is love. And when we learn how to love ourselves, then we're creating the kind of alignment that requires all the other fabulous things that we would enjoy in life to manifest. I think it's kind of a big deal.
Wow, and I love that book. It's one of my favorites of all your books. But I wonder, do you have any favorite processes to encourage that self-love that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, I'd been practicing this for a while, self-love, in a variety of ways. I mean, I've done Jack Canfield's Eye to Eye, Love in the Mirror. It's not his process, but he's the one I learned it from. In fact, he said that he was practicing saying something nice to himself before he went to bed every night, the same way he would to one of his kids or a valued employee. He'd just say some words of encouragement or something nice before he went to bed. And he said 40 nights of that, and his negative self-talk completely disappeared. That's a pretty powerful testimonial for that practice.
Yeah.
And I'd done things like that, and my self-care was pretty good. I really felt like I had self-love taken care of. I had this handled. And then I ran across an exercise where you write down a list of affirmations, of a self-love affirmation. And I can't remember the exact wording of the one that I'd read about, but it was kind of long. So I just made it short because I thought, well, that could be a good exercise to give to my clients. And I'm not going to give a client something I haven't practiced myself. So I wanted to do it myself, but I didn't like the long version. So I just wrote it out really short and sweet. I just said, "I am worthy." Three words. So I'm on a piece of paper I just wrote out, "I am worthy." I did this at night before I went to bed, and I got to the end of the page, and I liked it so much. Like, it felt so good, and it surprised me because I thought it was kind of a silly exercise, but I went back to the top of it, and I made each sentence longer. I am worthy of good friends. I am worthy of perfect health. I am worthy of amazing clients. I am worthy of a big bank account. Like, whatever came to mind, I just finished each sentence off a little bit differently, and by the end of that, I was on cloud nine. That felt really, really good. Okay, so I go to sleep. The next morning I wake up and my life, seriously, in the next like 45 minutes was exploding with good news. It was in my inbox. It was in my mailbox. It was in my voicemail messages. I cannot tell you how many, there was just amazing things happening all over the place, like in the first hour of the day. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. What's different here? Because something really cool has happened. What is this? And I realized the only thing I'd done different was the I am worthy affirmations. So I became a pretty big fan of those, and I'll still do one every once in a while. I do like that process.
And that, but I love that one too, and I know that you had shared one of those at Good Vibe U, the call when you were talking about this, and I was listening to it. It was just this Valentine's Day, which is only, you know, what, less than a month ago. And I wasn't even doing it out loud or written down. I was kind of laying down, just relaxing and just kind of going through my head, and as you were doing the I Am Worthy, you know, sort of thing. And before the call was even over, my husband came through the door with a beautiful, probably the nicest I've ever received, a beautiful potted floral arrangement. And part of that was red rose bushes, that like a little, you know, mini red rose bush that had a single white rose. And he said, well, yeah, they told me there was something significant about that, but I don't remember what she said. So I phoned the nursery and I asked them, and they said, it means I am worthy.
I love that story. That was so cool.
So that, I mean, that just so underscored for me, and it's, you know, luckily it's still living. I'm really going to try to keep this one alive. because to me, every time I look at it, it's just such a reminder of how quickly the universe responds to your thoughts. And
no doubt.
Yeah. Well, Jeanette, this has been amazing, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are going to want to connect with you. So I'm wondering how, if you'd like to share the best way for them to reach you.
I'm a big fan, of the blog, because you can find pretty much everything from the blog, and that's just goodvibeblog.com. But my portal site is goodvibecoach.com, where you can find links to Masters of Creation, Good Vibe University, the coach training, a wide variety of other things. So either goodvibeblog or goodvibecoach.com.
Okay, that's wonderful. And just thank you again so much for sharing. What an inspirational talk this has been. And I know I'm just buzzing with this.
Well, you're a pleasure to play with.
Well, thank you. And I really enjoyed the call. And so we're just going to sign off now. So we did agree to be an hour, so I want to be respectful of your time. But thank you again so much. And I really recommend that people do try to, you know, connect with you, because I know for me it's made a huge impact in my life, and I'm sure it will with others as well. So
thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. So have a wonderful day. And to everyone listening, have a wonderful day as well. And yeah, just everybody keep thinking those good thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alexandria. Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.